You may be breathing a sigh of relief this weekend. The holidays are over, so no more sing-alongs with colleagues or family for another year. It isn't easy trying to get through Jingle Bells or Auld Lang Syne with Uncle John or Sally from up in payroll who couldn't carry a tune if it had handles. Or maybe you are Sally from payroll. You apologetically mutter that you're tone deaf or, well, take heart. Chances are you are not tone deaf. You just sing badly, which is something else entirely. True tone deafness is actually pretty rare. Jeff London talked with some scientists trying to unlock the mystery of the condition technically called congenital amusia.
Gigi is a 64-year-old retired engineer from Hungary, fluent in several languages, highly educated and highly cultured, but he's never enjoyed music.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear John. Happy birthday to you.
Gigi, his name remains anonymous since he's a participant in a scientific case study, is profoundly tone deaf. Cincinnati Conservatory professor Stephen Kahn is co-author of that study.
He said that he did have a musical education, but that music sounded to him like a car door slamming. It didn't do him any good. And this was very surprising. I'd never heard anyone say something quite so bold as that.
Neuropsychologist Isabel Peretz uses the term congenital amusia to describe this condition, where people have suffered a lifelong inability to appreciate, memorize, or perceive music. She's been studying amusia at the University of Montreal. Peretz says she's placed ads in newspapers and on the radio and gotten a lot of replies, but many of the people just sing badly and aren't really tone deaf. Only 3 or 4% of the population has amusia.
We have a questionnaire, and so one of the critical questions is, do you know if you sing in or out of tune? And if they say, I don't know, I can't tell, but other people told me. That's one criterion. The other criterion is that they are unable to recognize familiar music like, you know, happy birthday if there are no words.
See, I really couldn't sing. I could never really sing. What I couldn't do was
sing.
I have trouble with those. It goes all around my... It's a terrifying...
Sing.
People with congenital amusia typically avoid listening to music or going to concerts, says Gottfried Schlaug, a professor of neurology at the Harvard Medical School.
They still see, so like, the social benefits of it, so they may play CDs when they have guests over, but they would never actually do this for their own enjoyment.
Schlaug is also studying amusia and says it's a very specific disorder. While undergoing functional magnetic resonance imaging on their brains, subjects perform a battery of simple musical tasks, testing pitch direction, whether something's going up or down, and interval sizes, whether notes are close to each other or far apart. One test asks the subject to listen to a phrase of music, then hear another phrase, and say whether the second phrase is the same or different than the first. People with amusia can't do this at all. When you ask people with normal musical perception to do this kind of task, the right auditory cortex, located in the temporal lobe, lights up. So when Isabel Peretz began studying amusia, she thought that's where the problems would show up.
The surprise finding is that we don't find any anomaly in the auditory cortex at all. I mean, they seem to be functioning normally. But we did detect anomalies, but not in the auditory cortex.
Instead, she found anatomic differences in the right frontal lobe, the area where short-term memories reside, kind of like the RAM buffer of a computer. Gottfried Schlaug's studies, on the other hand, found anomalies in the left frontal lobe, an area of the brain that plays a role in perceptual tasks as well as language.
It may not matter as much if it is on the left or on the right, but this inferior frontal region is an interesting region because it may actually have both a perceptual part and an executive part. So it may actually use the sensory input to direct some sort of output.
Which means there seems to be some sort of break in the brain's feedback circuitry. People with amusia not only have a problem discriminating the pitches they hear, they also have a problem reproducing them.
Oh, say, can you see
Of course, it's not so easy for anyone to sing the Star-Spangled Banner, but for Gigi, it's completely impossible. Research on amusia is still in its infancy, so scientists are trying to come up with next steps to study the condition.
The most remarkable feat of all would be to find somebody with congenital amusia and train them and see if there is potential to develop some musical, at least appreciation, move from no enjoyment, avoidance, to some enjoyment and some significance from music.
For Studio 360, I'm Jeff London.